Well, this is Elizabeth Baker, and I'm in the home of my Uncle Pete Hurd
Oh boy,
with
you're lucky.
Terry. And we're just having a great time here. She fed us a good lunch, and now Pete's going to tell us some stories. He told me he was, first, the date. Today's September 14th? 15th? 15th. Okay, 15, September 15th, yeah. 2001.
Saturday.
Yep, Saturday. Well, Uncle Pete was telling me, showed me this book here called Ships of the Esso Fleet in World War II, and that he was on one that was torpedoed. Okay, I'm going to read this down to where your name is. Then you can tell me whatever about it. Oh, that's the story. Yeah. The Esso Houston loaded a full cargo of 81,701 barrels of fuel oil at Aruba and sailed on May 9, 1942 for Montevideo, Uruguay.
That's right.
A statement by Captain Trafton F. Wanson, master of the Esso Houston, provides the following information. We proceeded according to routing orders from the British naval authorities at Aruba, zigzagging in the daytime and on moonlight nights. On May 11, after darkness fell, a flashing light was observed once or twice on the port beam by the lookout and reported to the officer on watch. I was on the bridge and called the gun crew to their stations and changed course away from the light. 15 minutes later, nothing further being seen of this light, the vessel was put back on her regular course. On May 12, about 8:30 p.m., according to the instructions, a change of course was made to starboard. I was in my room at the time, where I had gone 15 minutes before. After directing the officer on watch, Third Mate Boris A. Voronsov, to make the change of course mentioned, Harold J. Hurd, that's my uncle, A.B., and Charles I. Foote, A.B., were on lookout on top of the wheelhouse.
What is A.B.?
Able-bodied.
Able seaman.
You really were, huh?
I really were, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was young then.
Shelley Swearingen, O.S., was on lookout on the bridge, and Robert W. Ayers, A.B., was on at the wheel. The sea was moderate to rough, weather clear, sky partly overcast, easterly wind, force 5 to 6. Our position was latitude 12 degrees. How do you say this? 12, 0, yes. 12, slash?
12 degrees, yeah.
Well, what's the 12 slash?
That's minutes.
Minutes, okay. North longitude, 57 degrees, 25 minutes west. About 8:32 p.m., I heard the general alarm sounded and immediately went up to the bridge. As I entered the wheelhouse, I heard the officer on watch instruct helmsman Ayers to keep the wheel hard right as a submarine had been sighted crossing the bow from starboard to port. Well, tell us in your own words, what happened?
That's it.
That's it. You were
great
torpedoed.
Big, great big wide white wake go across the bow. We knew what it was. It's dark, of course.
And then you said you helped lower the lifeboats.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was when the ship was sinking, yeah.
So that ship actually sunk.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't sunk yet. It was on the,
right,
on the way down.
But you got the lifeboats out,
yeah,
and you were all rescued.
Yeah.
And that was May
Skipper and
12,
the next guy,
42.
And the radio operator, and then and us guys that were on watch, we got in it, and then we were rowed down alongside the ship, picking up guys that had jumped overboard.
Hmm.
There were how many?
I think they were 38. I think 38.
But you said there were so many of you in the lifeboat for so many
well,
days.
We ended up with 23 in that lifeboat altogether, picking up guys.
Were some of them lost?
One man was lost, one of the Navy gun crew. We had a 4-man Navy gun crew on there. We had a 5-inch aft on the stern. But this was dark and
kind of hard to shoot in the dark.
Yeah, well, the ship was sinking anyway, and you couldn't get at the gun hardly. And
well, I don't know my geography very well. I guess Aruba. It was near Aruba.
We left Aruba.
You left Aruba.
And we were heading for Uruguay.
Okay.
You know where Trinidad is?
Well, is that there in the Caribbean?
Unless they moved it.
Okay.
It used to be.
Her geography is very helpful.
I think I won't pass geography.
I can tell that from here, you know.
Georgia used to call it the East West Indies.
Yeah, we were going from Aruba to Montevideo, Uruguay. That's down on the east coast of South America.
I got
below
it.
Below Brazil. Even.
Okay.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Already.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, now it'll be more meaningful to me.
We was off Barbados.
Uh-huh.
You don't know where that is.
Well, it's down there someplace in that area.
Yeah. I don't think they moved that one.
No, I don't either. Were you in a dangerous position any other time during the war? All the time.
Well,
it was war.
You were out there in a ship,
yeah.
You're
okay.
In a dangerous position during the war.
Okay, let's back up to the beginning. You said you joined, of your military service.
Oh, that's the Coast Guard.
You weren't in
the Coast Guard?
Military any time, were you?
No, Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
Oh, Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
Yeah. Okay.
Coast Guard's military.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, you said you didn't, you wanted to sleep in a good bed. So that's how you chose your...
I wasn't gonna get in the Army. They wasn't going to get me because I didn't want no foxhole. I wanted a bunk to sleep
right,
in.
Right, okay.
Well, you were in the Coast Guard before the war, though.
I was in the Coast Guard. I shipped in the Coast Guard in 38.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
First trip was right to Barrow.
Is that right?
Yeah, that right. You better believe it.
Well, what was Barrow like in those days? 38.
Not much.
Yeah, just...
He said he stopped at every little village all the way up the coast and around the corner. And
from St. Michael on up.
Huh.
Unalakleet and Golovin Bay Nome and Tin City, Cape Prince of Wales, Point Hope, Wainwright.
Uh-huh.
Went around Cape Lisburn. Oh, yeah, Icy Cape.
Oh, and didn't you say you helped put up that Willie Rogers Monument?
We brought it up.
You brought it up.
We brought it up on that trip. Yeah.
She brought up the plaque and then they built the monument.
Yeah, that bronze plaque, yeah.
Hmm, when was that? What year was that?
38,
okay.
Because we've seen several pictures of, people that have been up there.
Well, we've been up there. We've seen it.
We've been there.
Yeah, we've been there. We've touched it.
Well, I had nothing to do with the putting up of it.
But you were on the ship that brought it.
Yeah, we brought it up. I don't know. I may have a picture of it lashed down somewhere out on deck. I don't know.
Hmm.
But we brought it up. It's a bronze plaque.
Well, that was back in the quote-unquote good old days.
Yeah, good old days, yeah.
Now, where did you say your second tour of duty was that when you got back to Seattle? You went...
We got back off the Northland, went to Frisco on the Northland, and they kicked us all off of there because they're going to use it as a kind of a school ship. And I got transferred to the Coast Guard cutter Duane. And we went in 1939, it was summer, we went up to Nome, Mona Duane, as far as Nome, Nunavak Island.
Oh yeah.
Nash Harbor, Nunavak Island, we stopped in there. And then, of course, Dutch Harbor in Alaska.
So as you were Coast Guard?
Yeah.
So you're just guarding the coast?
Well, yeah, better believe it.
But there was no war going on yet, was there?
The war started in May of 41.
Okay, but in 38, you said you went up...
December 41.
Okay, right, so you went in 38, though, 30, up
yeah,
first,
39.
Uh-huh.
39, I got on the Duane. Then we went up to Alaska and then back, and then we got orders to go around to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you went through the canal.
Yeah, I went through the canal over to Boston. And we sailed out of Boston the remainder of my hitch on that thing.
Well, where were you on the day of infamy?
I had quit a tanker, come up the coast, I think it was in Williamsburg somewhere. I had got off a tanker that day, and I didn't know about this here Pearl Harbor thing, and I was on the bus, and I was looking out the window. I see a, one of these
Paper box.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A paper box.
I see the headline, Pearl Harbor bombed. So that's when I first heard about it. I'm on the bus going to Boston. So then I got up to Boston. It didn't take very long to get on another ship. Oof, they wasn't going to get me in the Army. No way.
Wait, okay, now explain a little bit to me.
Well, you got out of the Coast Guard in Boston.
You got out of the Coast Guard.
I paid off in May of 41 out of the Coast Guard, and then 5 days later, or during that 5 days, I got my AB ticket for Merchant Marine, a lifeboat ticket, and all of that I needed to sail on Merchant Marine.
Okay, and what's Merchant Marine for somebody like me?
Tankers and freighters.
Okay.
Oil tankers.
Okay, so that doesn't have anything to do with the war. Okay.
And didn't have nothing to do with the
just
Army
business,
or Navy or nothing.
Just business, commerce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
But you still have to be licensed.
Right. Okay.
Just like carpenters or anybody else.
But so your military was
just the Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
Just those two
That's
years,
all.
That's
years.
All.
So I was done with the military.
Okay. So even all during the war, then you weren't in the military.
Marine.
You were a Merchant Marine.
Merchant Marine.
Okay.
All during the war.
Oh. Okay.
But they were doing a lot of
but we're still,
military
can you find
support.
That
huh?
Certificate?
Mm-hmm. I think the thing that he said, he told that was interesting, that they had no escort. Just out there on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. First part of the war. Oh, man. Navy Admiral King, he killed a lot of merchant seamen. I tell you, oh, he was a rotten bastard. Boom. He killed a lot of merchant seamen and sunk a lot of merchant ships because he didn't believe in convoy. We all was running. No, I mean the certificate of Merchant Marine. That's my license there. Yeah.
Well, let's look at it. Since you've got it here,
I'm just going to wipe its face off.
We could still look at it.
No, that Admiral King, he wanted everything in the Pacific. Him and Dugout Doug. Oh, they were both dirty bastards. He killed a lot of Merchant Marine guys.
So he didn't supply convoys, huh?
He didn't believe in convoys.
Thank you.
There.
I don't know what he wants.
At that time. Well, the certificate, they made us veterans.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
That's it, veterans.
Okay, I'm looking at a United States Coast Guard license to U.S. Merchant Marine officer. This is to certify that Harold J. Hurd, having been duly examined and found competent by the undersigned, is licensed to serve as second mate on steam and motor vessels of any gross tons upon any waters for the term of 5 years from this date, given under my hand this 12th day of February, 1951, Juneau, Alaska, and signed by E. Hawley, officer in charge of marine inspection.
Mate's license then, huh?
Yeah, second mate. Yeah,
second
yeah.
Mate's license.
Yeah.
Well, that's a step up from AB.
Oh, yes. I didn't. Well, I had a third mate's license too, and before I got that, and they had to sail so much time on each ticket until you could go to the next one, and during that time you're sailing on one, you're studying for the next one. You see.
Yep.
And what's the job of mate? I mean, is that getting close to the captain? Or?
Well, on a merchant ship, ordinarily, you got three mates. You got third mate, second mate, chief mate, and then skipper.
Oh, okay.
So I was the second mate.
The second mate.
They always have the same portfolio, the same duties, whatever ship they're on.
Yeah, we stand second a watch. Uh-huh. Yeah. My watch was 12 to 4. 12 to 4 midnight, midnight to 4, and then 12 to 4 noon to 4 in the afternoon.
He said he had a
second mate, he's mainly the navigation officer.
Save them, huh?
Takes care of all the navigation equipment,
mm-hmm.
charts,
the
and
here.
And you take your sights, do your navigating, and oh, it was fun ship, fun,
mm-hmm.
fun job, a lot of fun. I don't know. Where's that thing in here someplace? Oh, yeah, here it is, I think.
Discharge.
Yeah.
Huh? Those are his discharges. 1942.
Portland. Well, this here. Just what it says. They finally made us claim we are veterans, us guys that sailed in the merchant marine during World War II.
Oh yeah.
They made us veterans the same as the Army and the Navy
oh.
and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinarily we were civilians,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we were then too, but they classed us in later years as veterans, which they should have done a long time ago.
Right.
Okay, so this certificate says United States Merchant Marine Certificate of Service. This is to certify that Harold J. Hurd is a U.S. Merchant Marine veteran, having served aboard ocean-going merchant ships in service to the United States during World War II. And then that entitled you to veteran benefits?
I guess so, but well, I don't know what they are.
Oh, you don't know what they are? You didn't get any of them?
No, he doesn't get any.
Oh, really?
Well, you could have gone to college.
He was, yeah. How old was he? 60-something?
I went to school after I was that old.
I know you did. You were still going at 80, weren't you?
Well, I didn't have to. I knew it all.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well,
that's the way some people are.
I didn't have to go anymore.
You got it there.
So you just had on-the-job training.
You ain't kidding.
How funny that.
Yeah, they made us veterans. You see, the Merchant Marine lost more people during World War II than any armed service except the Marines.
Hmm. Is that right?
I think there was 50-some thousand Merchant Marines got killed during the war.
Hmm.
Yeah. Torpedoed and sunk and machine gunned and bombed and... Yeah. All civilians.
Hmm.
Did you ever see that notice that his mother got that he was missing in action? Did
no.
That?
Uh-uh.
That was someone.
When was that? Missing in action?
When they got torpedoed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How long were you missing?
Until I got found.
Well, but how long was that?
Oh, we were in a lifeboat for 5 days, then we hit the island of St. Vincent, got ashore, and then the skipper got a hold of the home office in Bayonne, New Jersey, of the SO, Standard New Jersey Oil Company, and give him the story, and then he got a draw from the bank there in Ireland, St. Vincent, and we each had a few dollars to spend then.
Mm-hmm.
Buy a couple of gallons of rum, you know, to kind of ease things off.
Now, was that the Houston? No, that was...
Yeah, the Houston.
Yeah, well, see, that's the one on top right here, discharge.
Oh.
Houston.
So Houston. I got two or three discharges on the Houston,
yeah.
Haven't I?
Yeah. No, this was this was 4/15/42, this one.
So what's the advantage of, is it just an honor to be called a veteran if they didn't give you any
recognition? I didn't say that.
Right, but they don't, I mean, if you needed to go to the hospital, you don't go to the...
Did you get a pension?
No.
And you can't go to the veterans' hospitals?
Well, I suppose I could if you want to get through all that red tape and crap. And we call it the butcher shop anyway. Who wants to go there?
Okay.
Of course, I don't think they have any Toyota nurses. So.
Oh. How, when did you quit sailing on ships?
And start building them.
Oh, I don't know. That was, '48, I think, something like that. I quit sailing offshore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then I took a job with the Fish and Wildlife Service, running to Alaska.
So you had a lot of time in Alaska.
Yeah, I run boats, fish and wildlife boats for 4 years, running from Seattle to Alaska. Going anywhere from southeast up to Pribilofs.
Mm. Oh, so you've been on the Pribilofs too.
Oh, I lived in the Pribilofs in 38.
Really?
In the Northland, Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We went ashore there one day and I guess the natives at Point Hope were kind of starving. They didn't have much to eat, so we were up there at the Pribilofs and they sent us ashore because they were butchering seals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we were packing seal flippers in big Tierces. You know what a Tierce is?
No.
Well, it's a great big barrel, bigger than a barrel.
Uh-huh.
Tierces, you get right in there and stomp it out with your hip boot feet, you know. And we took them aboard and took them up to Point Hope, fed them to the Eskimos.
Hmm.
On the way there, we were in the ice and we run into a few walrus and shot one of them and took it ashore for him.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I got to get the grease off my glasses.
Too, somewhere.
So they were real happy to have you come along.
I don't know.
Well,
I didn't eat none of them.
You didn't even taste it?
No. One for me.
Well, that's kind of.
I want a flipper eater.
Hmm.
Each to his own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, while you were doing fish and game work, then you went up the Inside Passage.
Yeah.
And where did, were you stationed any place? Or of course you're on a boat, so.
Well, I had
just
an
come
area
and go.
When I was running the Teal. Now the Teal had the Cook Inlet area, you see, and I run that all summer. And
were you the skipper then on the?
Yeah.
On you actually.
Yeah, I had a 5-man crew.
Oh.
What do they do? Are they kind of policemen?
Yeah. They had closures, fishing closures. They had traps them days, you know, and they had to close the traps. And so you'd go along and make sure the trap, the spiller was pulled up. Couldn't fish, you know. And somebody was up creek robbing. They'd go up in the head of where a creek come out, ahead of a bay, and they kind of, that's where the fishing school up, see. So if no, we called it the coot and carp service that we were in, see. If we weren't handy, why, they would set a set and get a good haul of fish right there at the mouth of the stream.
When they're not supposed to fish.
Yeah. So we'd go along and I'd be going up a bay and come to the last point. You go around that point and there's the creek coming out. I'd stop the boat and we'd lower the outboard and go up around the point, see if we catch anybody that's got their net out.
Hmm.
Catch your net, why then you pull it ashore and pour gas on, burn the whole thing up.
You had to do that sometimes?
Oh, yeah, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
We did that. Keep from fishing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was an illegal set.
Right.
You know, illegal, that's a sick bird, you know.
Oh, illegal. Okay.
You didn't know that.
No.
Well, that's what they used to call those buttons. Veterans buttons that had the eagle on, the sick eagle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I never had a button.
I heard you talking earlier about Cordova. You were in the Cordova area?
Well, in the fall, and on the way back to Seattle, we had what we call bug hunters aboard. And they were fisheries.
Biologists?
Yeah, that's a biologist, yeah. We'd hit all the red streams, the sockeye streams, you see, and check the escapement. And so we made the trip of the Prince William Sound, or the circuit of Prince William Sound, on the way back to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe have to leave there and stop in Yakutat and pick up some bug hunters or weir watchers or something, and then into Juneau and then on down to Seattle and sit in Seattle there until next May and then go north again. And February, sometime we're sitting there in February, we'd make the crew on the Penguin. The Penguin was another fishing wildlife boat. He made 5 trips a year to the Pribilofs and every place in between, out on the Aleutian Chain and all of that. So in February, the crew of that boat, they'd take a vacation and they'd make up a crew from off the dock of us guys that were down there. So I always went as mate on the Penguin, along with the skipper, old Dan Drottening. We'd make the February trip to the Pribilofs.
Hmm.
Nice and cool, you know.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to make a dictionary of all of these special words.
Oh.
Like bug hunters and for biologists.
oh, is that what, that's what it is?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A bug hunter, biologist. Okay.
And Toyota. And
diaperheads too, you know.
Diaperheads.
I don't know. I think you are not politically correct.
Well, I call them the way I see them.
That's uh-huh.
Good. That's the way it lays.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh. How long did you stay with the Fish and Game?
I was 4 years.
4 years, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that takes us to 19, what? Oh, we're out of the 40s now, into the 50s?
1950-something, yeah. I don't know, at 49 I killed that big bear over there out of McNeil River.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Big brown, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we used to go over to McNeil River and take it.
Was that for sport or for...
No, he was going to come over and shake hands. And I figured, no. He smelled too bad, so we didn't do that.
Do you keep his skin?
No. Didn't keep nothing. But I figured right then I am never going to shoot another bear.
Why?
I've shot quite a few, but mostly blacks.
Uh-huh.
I would never shoot another bear. When they die, when you shoot them and when they're dying, they bawl.
Oh.
Yeah, I said, nah, I ain't going to shoot no more.
Hmm.
I'm going to try to scare them away.
So you're a little bit soft-hearted there, someplace.
Well, what the hell, a bear's got to eat too, you know.
Right.
As long as they don't eat me, right?
Yeah. I'll chew on me, and things are different, yeah. Because you always, when you went ashore, you always took your OT-6 with you, you know.
But you really were in danger at that time with this one.
Who knows?
Well, you felt like it anyway.
Who knows?
Well, then about at that time, then you began building boats, huh? That's when you started.
No, I went for a while with the game warden, the game department here in the state of Washington. But them and me didn't get along, so we parted company.
Well, weren't you with them about 9 years?
8.
Well, that was pretty good to get along for 8 years.
You probably had too much sympathy for the hunters.
Well, a lot of people in there. It was a lot of in the outfit. I couldn't stand a lot of them, too. The way they operated, I didn't like the way they did things, and they didn't like the way I did things.
Mm-hmm.
We parted company. Then I went building boats.
Okay.
That was the fun.
The fun.
Should have been doing that all the time.
Hmm. Somehow you got your license. Or whatever it is.
What license?
Wasn't it for to go to work in the shipyard or wherever it was, you had to take this test to say that you were qualified?
Oh, no, no, no. You just went down and joined the union.
That's it, joining the union. It was funnier than a crutch.
Oh. How did you join the union?
Went down and gave him $100.
Yeah.
And that's all?
No, he was sweating it. He was sweating it. And they had to ask him a few questions. I guess he answered right. But I laughed. I thought that was so funny. I thought he was the only one that had nerve enough to walk in and do something like that.
Oh, no. Well, that's all right. I joined the Shipwrights Union, and then we...
But you'd never built a ship before?
Yeah, I'd been dabbling in it when I was a kid. We built boats when I was in Mukilteo on the Lost Fars, and I didn't learn, and I didn't know I was learning.
Oh!
You see? So then everything just fell into place and just went along from there. And built boats, built yachts, fish boats, big yachts. Biggest one I helped build was 104 feet.
Wow.
22-foot beam. He was,
no, I'm not.
He was a good
he
one.
He might be.
I'm through.
Okay.
Nothing left, is there? I'm through
you
if there's nothing
more?
Left.
No.
Well, let's go back then to your boat building training at Lost Fars. You just hung around there? Was your dad building boats?
I was building there, too. And then,
he actually worked for them. He was paid.
He was working for them, yeah. Not steady now and then. And we're always down to around Lost Fars. We're always bumming a boat off of George so we could go rowing someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Row up to Coopville or over to Whidbey Island, go clam digging. And
and then your dad was doing that too.
Yeah, he was working on the boat.
Uh-huh.
So what they had was outboard boats, you see. That's what they built. Nothing big.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we was learning, and then me and my dad built my sailboat at home, and I was learning off of that, and then later when we built 226-footers in our backyard down at the home place.
I remember that, when you had those two.
Now, would that have been in, I was going to college here in 61, and he had a big boat in his backyard.
That was it.
Was that it?
That was it.
Oh, yeah, I've got a picture of that one.
Uh-huh. Two of them there, side by side.
So you were building that together?
Yeah.
Oh.
Those.
Oh, two, okay. All right.
So then I went, got a job in a boatyard down in Seattle and just kept on from there. Different yards, what you call the shipwright shuffle, you know. They run out of work in one shop, you go to another shop.
Hmm.
Well, when did you establish your corporation out here?
Well, that was 20 years ago. Yeah, when I retired.
When you retired?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you got vested in the union and retired, huh?
Huh?
You got vested and retired?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good union, boy. Yeah. Here last month, you know, I get a check from them every month, you know, retirement check.
Mm-hmm.
And last month, they gave us an extra check, $1,750.
Very good. Check. Oh, good.
Well, I didn't send it back.
No.
for you too.
That's along with a record check.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, they've done that back on down the line. Sometimes they give you a couple of extra checks during the year, and it seems like they make good investments, so they pass some of it on to us, which is nice. It's a good retirement. You're not getting rich, but
you can live.
You ain't losing it either.
Good. You built. Now, when you're building, what are you doing? I mean, I know cutting wood and in the ship, when you were a ship in the
Shipwright.
Union. Shipwright. I mean, what specific job? Or you had lots of different, you did.
You build a boat.
From scratch.
From scratch. To finish.
To finish. So you have to not only do the woodwork, but does somebody else do the electrical, or you do everything?
No, I didn't get in to dabble into the electrical and that kind of stuff.
So mostly wood.
The wood part, then.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I like to build the hull and the cabin and get that all done, and then let the furniture builders come inside and do the rest inside.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I could do the inside, but I like the hull building better.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I guess you knew that Luana was a journeyman electrician.
No.
Yeah, she was.
I've
seen
the
papers.
Turn the switch on, huh?
I think she did something about the switch boxes, silver soldered or something.
Oh, yeah.
During the war.
But anyway, she had that right rating.
Yeah.
Oh.
Got paid on that scale.
Well, that's good.
Do you happen to know what she did between high school and when she went to college? She graduated in 1938.
I wasn't here.
Okay. Well, we don't know either.
He was in the Coast Guard then.
I was going to sea. I didn't know what was going on around this part of the country.
Well, we just discovered that in some of our research, that there was a year gap between her graduation from high school and then going on to her Bible school.
I've got no idea.
So you don't know either.
No, I wasn't here.
Well, you might have heard.
Yeah, I'm heard.
I wasn't there either. Well, would you be interested in telling us anything about your parents or your childhood? Tell us.
What about your grandma?
Your grandma, yeah.
Who lived next door?
Who lived next door?
Yeah, she lived next door.
Yeah, but we didn't know her. I've just heard some stories from my mother that you didn't go unless you were invited.
Over there?
Yeah.
Oh, I did.
You did. Okay,
oh, did.
Well.
Yeah.
What's her name?
What's her? I got her on great.
Good.
No
what? Okay. Well, what's her name?
That's
your dad's mother.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I figured you're talking about. Yeah.
Well, I'm clarifying it for me. What's her name?
What was her name?
I think her name was May.
No, I mean, but her last name.
Oh, last name?
Heard.
No. No, it was at first, but she remarried.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Chapman.
Chapman, that's what I thought.
Chapman. Now, she married Emory Chapman, and he was one of the big wheels in the mill there at Mukilteo, the Crown Lumber Company mill. He was in the office.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't work out there with the Japs and the rest of them like the other guys did. He was in the office. Emory Chapman.
Mm.
Tell them about her first husband.
And her first husband would have been Heard.
That's old Bill Heard, yeah.
And that's your grandfather.
Granddad,
okay,
yeah,
well.
Who was your drinking uncle?
Oh, drinking uncle? Well, Lawrence.
Lawrence, well, who was he married to?
Hazel.
I never met her.
Hazel.
Now, they lived at Edmonds?
No, they lived in Mukilteo.
Who was it lived at Edmonds? Wasn't there a brother or sister?
Yeah, brother. Elmer.
Oh, yeah.
You called him Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lived down
there.
No,
we visited.
It wasn't Edmond, it was Richmond Beach.
Richmond Beach.
And Marvel still lives there.
Okay, we visited her several years ago, but she did pass away.
Oh, did she?
She did?
Yeah.
Well,
wasn't that a year or so ago? 2 years ago, probably.
I don't know.
Is he still alive?
I don't know. But, yes, you did get a note from their daughter. letting you know that she had passed away. We had been there to visit her several years ago. I can't remember.
I didn't know she died. I never heard nothing.
Uh-huh.
There was a, well, my my cousin from that there lived there in Mukilteo, Lawrence. Lawrence heard and the Rodney heard. Lawrence heard and that was his son, Rodney heard.
Well, let's back up a little bit so I get things straight. Grandma Chapman's name is May, is that right? May?
I think so.
And she was married to?
She was married to old Bill Hurd.
Bill Hurd. Okay, so this is the grandparents, your grandparents.
Yeah, then she got.
Well, how many children? Who are the children there?
Well,
your dad?
Dad.
Charles.
He was the oldest, and then there was Lawrence, and then there was Elmer, and then there was Audie.
Oh, okay. Four boys.
No, four, three boys.
Oh, three.
Audie's
a lady. Audie's a lady, okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, they're all gone.
Well, who was the one that was in the sword?
Oh, that was
Irwin. Was that?
Yeah.
Who? Now, who? What's his relationship?
I don't know. He's some kind of a half-assed relation there, some way or another. But Irwin. Yeah.
I think his was Bill.
He was. He was. I think he had something to do with the Standard Oil.
Yeah, he won. I don't know what his position was, but. I worked for him one summer.
Yeah, he was some kind of relation. I don't know where he fit in.
But they were in touch by letter because after I shopped around for a job and got a job with him, and then after I did, come to find out that they already knew who I was and that we were coming to Alaska because somebody from Mukilteo or Richmond Beach or somebody there had written
some
them about me.
Mouth. Yeah. 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 There's a lot of them around.
Yeah. Can't keep any secrets.
Nah.
What happened to your Grandpa Bill after they divorced?
He lived with my Uncle Lawrence and Hazel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he lived right there in Mukilteo. He died in bed one night, he went to sleep and died. That was it. Bill Hurd, he was always writing letters to the editor in the Seattle Star.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He was always griping about something or another.
Oh, now we know where you got it, huh?
Now, as Chapman, the one that moved to California.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess we visited him out there.
Yeah. Yeah, Emery moved to California. My grandmother did. I don't think.
No, it was just
this all happened after I'm gone to sea.
Hmm.
So a lot of stuff there I don't know anything about.
But while you're a child, that's what we want to know about these relationships that we don't know.
Oh,
So you used to go visit Grandma Chapman at that time, huh?
Oh, hell yes. You were right next door. Right.
Well,
next
and so you didn't have any trouble just running over there and saying hi, Grandma.
No, I'd go over there on a hot day like this. She'd send me down to Louis Anderson's and said, you give me 4 bits or so, go down and get a quart ice cream and some root beer, and we'll have a root beer float. Oh man, I tell you, I run all the way.
Uh-huh.
There and back.
Uh-huh.
And we'd sit on a nice, she had a nice cool back porch, we'd sit there and have root beer float.
Hmm, very nice.
And she'd get mad at my mother once in a while and come a cussing out there and throwing stuff around that she thought belonged to my mother. Oh, I don't know. That's the way it went.
Uh-huh.
How come Luana had such a hard time getting in the house? She always talked about she wouldn't let anybody in the house.
She had a hard time.
Well, because you got to go in easy. She said you didn't come unless you were invited to her grandma's house.
He was grandma's pet.
Yeah, you were.
Well, she was worried about me. She says, he is too anemic. He's got to have cod liver oil. So what they do, they buy a great big bucket can of cod liver oil. You know that one, remember that one, a guy with a sou'wester or a big codfish hanging over his back? Have you ever seen that?
I don't know if it's that kind, but I know my mom sent a big bottle of it with me to school the first year I went to school.
My grandmother said I was anemic and had to have cod liver oil. Holy man, I hated that.
But you took it from her.
No, she, my mother made me.
Oh, your mother.
Yeah.
Nasty stuff.
Do you remember the little cabin behind the house?
What cabin?
Well, wasn't there some kind of a little house that you lived in? My mother was born in it, supposedly.
The original house she's talking
about.
Well, I think you were probably hatched out there, too.
Yes.
That's what I'm asking. Do you remember that little house?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, can you describe it to us? Tell us some.
Well, this was a kind of a three-room, unpainted shack. That's what it was.
Uh-huh.
The kitchen was a lean-to off the north end of the shack.
Uh-huh.
And the other part was a room, and a kind of a lockers come out here partway into the room, and that made a baffle, and there was a bedroom on the south end, and that's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing tacked to that house at all. No way.
Mm-hmm.
Never. There was a door in that south end, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or that west end, but nothing attached to it. No porch, no nothing. It was never used.
So the four of you then slept in there?
Yeah.
Basically in one room?
Yeah. Well, the folks, they had their own, their bedroom, and they had a big curtain you could, on a pole, you could pull a curtain closed, and that was it. And the rest of it just one open room there, and then the kitchen. It kind of a lean-to off the end of the house, and that's where the back porch was.
And that was in the days of cooking with wood?
Yeah,
you had to chop
at wood. No heat, electricity.
Heat with wood, too, then?
Heat with wood, no electricity.
Mm-hmm. I know you had an outhouse.
Yeah, good one. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Made a smokehouse out of it later. Yeah.
Oh.
Made good fish.
Hmm. And, oh.
You moved it first, right?
A little ways.
Well, that's the one, probably the same thing that was in the backyard of the new house. There was a little.
Yeah, we moved it there.